You're listening to audio from Destiny Church. If you would like to check more resources or donate to this ministry, you can download the Destiny Church PH official app or log on to www.destinychurch.ph/give.
Let me just give you the title for the topic today. It's Hindrances to Pursuing Holiness. Hindrances. Ano yung pumipigil sa'yo? Ano yung nakaharang sa landas mo patungo sa buhay ng kabanalan? Shall we begin with a word of prayer before we start? Father, we thank you for this afternoon and we commit to you this time, O Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds. My prayer, O God, is that the word from the scripture would be very clear to us, Lord, that it would not be spoken in parables. And even, Lord God, the quotations from other authors would be very clear to us that we would understand it thoroughly and fully. We pray, O God, that the word would be planted in our hearts and that we would choose to obey you, Lord, that we may receive the blessing and the effect of the word in our life. We pray, O God, that your word would bear fruit in our life and that we would actually see change happen. I pray, Father, that as I have prepared, that you would hide me, Lord, in your word, and you would override, Holy Spirit, my preparations. And I pray, O God, that you would allow me to preach in humility and in brokenness today. We thank you, O God, for your goodness and for this time of learning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, let me open with the verse in 1 Peter. I think I mentioned this last week at the 10 a.m. service. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says that you must be holy because I am holy. Dapat daw ikaw ay maging banal sapagkat ang Panginoong Diyos natin ay siya ring banal. And napakahirap na konsepto itong paniwalaan at ipamuhay. Tama po ba? In fact, one of the common things that you would hear from people is that paano mabubuhay ng banal kung yaman man lang na tao lang ako? Tao na nadadarang, na natutukso. Okay? You do note that, you know what I mean? Na mahirap ang buhay, no? Tao lang, no? Prone ako sa temptation. Okay? But let's go to a particular biblical text in the life of one of the kings of the nation of Judah, in the life of the king of Asa, no? And it's a terribly long passage that we're about to read. So let me just break it down into parts and we won't be reading through all the three chapters. So I'm going to go through 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and end with chapter 16. And tatalo na natin yung mga ilang verses. Some of the verses would probably be flashed behind me. In chapter 14, and I'm reading from the God's Word translation, it says in verse 2 to verse 5, King Asa did what the Lord his God considered good and right. He got rid of the altars of foreign god, broke down the sacred stones, and cut down the poles dedicated to the goddess Asherah. He told the people of Judah to dedicate their lives to serving the Lord God of their ancestors and following his teachings and commands. He got rid of the illegal places of worship and the altars for incense in all the cities of Judah. The kingdom was at peace during his reign. So, sino ba si Asa? Asa was the great-grandson of David. Great-great-grandson. So, David, then Solomon, then Rehoboam, then Azariah, if I'm not mistaken. And then now we have Asa. And Asa comes from the line of kings of David, of the family of David, who are righteous. Okay? So, tama yung pamumuhay niya in front of God. And so, that initially, upon getting the kingdom of Judah, what he did was to cleanse the nation. Tinanggal niya lahat ng mga kalaban ng Panginoon. So these are idols that are idolatry that is being practiced in the nation. And he got rid of all this. And because of what he did, the nation experienced peace, kapayapaan. Okay? In verse 8, you'll find that si Asa, when he did a survey of the number of soldiers that he had, they numbered 580,000. So it's almost 500,000. Okay? Unfortunately, in verse 9, Sarah, the Cushite from the nation of Sudan, kinalaban si Asa with 1 million soldiers and 300 chariots. Yung chariots at that time is yung contemporary tanks natin today. No, parang ganun, wala lang siyang kanyon, pero same principle. And kinakatakutan ng chariot. If napanood nyo yung gladiator, hindi siya putyo-putyo na kalaban. So it needs a certain formation, it needs expertise. So they had 300 chariots and 1 million soldiers opposing the nation of Judah, which only had half of them, 580,000. So si Asa knew that in a war without the help of God, they would be beaten. Tama naman, di ba? Hindi siya parang walang kalaban-laban. The ratio is 1:2. Okay? And so that in verse 11, you'll find that si Asa, what he did was, before they went to war, he called on the Lord God, and because he knew he could not win without God's help. And so you'll find in verses 12 hanggang 15, through the help of God, Asa won the battle, and he looted the enemy. This is a supernatural kind of winning. Now, it was never explained. How I wish that some scriptures would actually explain how things are being won. We jump to chapter 15, and we find that after Asa had won, in verse 1 to 6, si Azariah, son of Oded, who was a person called out by God to become a prophet for that day, spoke a word of encouragement to Asa. In verse 7, he said to Asa, "But you must remain strong and not become discouraged. Your actions will be rewarded." So, in-encourage niya. Sabi niya, kailangan mo maging matatag. Kailangan mo maging malakas. Kasi, papantayan ng Panginoon yung katapatan na binibigay mo sa Kanya. Marireward ka. And then in verse 8, Asa was encouraged and continued to cleanse the whole nation of idols. In verse 9 to 15, he gathered all the people and foreigners and made a covenant with one another. So this is a national event. No, nag-covenant sila. If you've been with us with Destiny, can you imagine what that looked like? Diba? Parang grabe, matindi-tinding, marami sigurong tinapa yun. Okay? Tsaka wine. Okay? So he gathered all the people and foreigners and made a covenant with one another to dedicate their lives to serving the Lord with all their heart and soul. And they celebrated with singing and music and were joyful. So isang masayang klase ng covenant. No, hindi pa natin nagagawa yata to sa church, no, yung masaya talaga. Kasi minsan parang pag nag-covenant yung effect agad sa mga tao, ito na yung iyakan to. May mayayakap ako na brother dito, ganyan. Okay. And then continuing on in verse 19, there was peace for 35 years. Can you imagine what kind of country that was? Peace for 35 years. Let's jump to chapter 16. In chapter 16, in the first verse, the nation of Israel, now wait a minute, Judah and then Israel, because we had David, whose son was Solomon, and whose son was Rehoboam. At the time of Rehoboam, the 10 tribes separated from the nation of Israel. And what was left, the southern tribe, was the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Nag-team up sila and they called themselves the Kingdom of Judah. And the remaining 10 kingdoms called themselves the Kingdom of Israel. So separate kings. Okay, Rehoboam ruled the Kingdom of Judah. And then Jehoshaphat ruled the kingdom of Israel. And then after Rehoboam, Azariah, and then we have Asa. And then inatake sila in chapter 16 ng Israel, pero nagsama pa ng kakampi, the nation of Syria or Aram at that time. And they began to invade Judah. So si Asa, you notice how in chapter 14, chapter 15, si Asa previously relied on God. And then suddenly there was a change of heart. Instead of relying on God, verse 2, you'll find that then Asa brought out all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace. And he sent them to Damascus to Aram's king Ben-Hadad. Nakakalungkot na malaman na unang-una, si Asa, ang ginawa niya is hindi na siya umasa sa Panginoon. Okay? Yung inasahan niya was yung treaty with the king of Damascus. So, and ang mas nakakalungkot doon is yung pinangbayad niya sa hari ng Damascus ay yung mga importanteng bagay na nasa loob ng templo ng Diyos. Na may mga kinuha siya sa royal treasury, but then he took from the Lord's temple what was supposedly sacred things. Okay? And then in verse 4, Aram stopped attacking the kingdom of Judah and began attacking the kingdom of Israel. So walang nagawa yung Israel, it backed away from Judah. So maybe si Asa thought problem solved, okay? But then in verse 7 to 8 you'll find that God sent another prophet in the name of Hanani, and Hanani went to Asa and rebuked him and told him instead that of depending on God, he depended on the king of Syria. So sinabi niya na noong una, umasa ka sa akin, tapos ngayon, ano yung nangyari? Umasa ka sa king ng Syria, sa kapangyarihan niya. And he reminded him about the time in chapter 14 when God allowed him to win a war against Sudan and Libya, wherein the ratio was 2:1. Pinaalala sa kanya, hindi mo ba nakakalimutan? Hindi mo ba naaalala na lumaban ka? 1,000,000 yung kalaban mo, tapos kalahati lang kayo, pero pinanalo ka ng Diyos. And then here you'll find one of the more prominent verses in 2 Chronicles. chapter 16, it says in verse 9, I'm going to read it from the NIV translation, says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You know, this principle is still true today. You could maybe on your own time ask Pastor Philip, because he ran with this verse for a really long time as he was being promoted one after the other. You know, he really believed in this word. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Ang Panginoong Diyos natin ay patuloy na naghahanap at tumitingin ng puso ng mga tao. Hinahanap niya yung puso ng tao na fully, buong puso, committed sa Kanya. Ang magandang tanong ngayong araw na ito ay, committed ba ako sa Panginoon? Sige nga, tanungin mo yung katabi mo. Committed ka ba sa Panginoon? Yan, nakikita mo yung mga peking ngiti. Yan, nasa simbahan ka. Tamang lugar. Okay, continuing on, chapter 16, verse 12. Ang nangyari kay Asa is because of what he did. On his 39th year, mantakin mo, 35 years they had peace. On the 36th year, they had war. And then, natigil yung gera. On the 39th year, siya ay nagkasakit. Okay, it says that he had a foot disease. Some theologians say that he probably had gout. Okay, and instead of asking the Lord for help and for healing, he did not trust the Lord, but he only went to doctors. I mean, Hezekiah hasn't been born yet, but you saw how Hezekiah, when the prophet came to his presence, said that you are going about to die. And what did Hezekiah do? He turned bitterly and prayed to the Lord, and then he was healed an additional plus 12 years on his life. But si Asa didn't do anything. Okay? And so that's the life of Asa, no? Pagkababasahin mo, sayang. Ang ganda sana ng simula. Okay? Panalong-panalo sa simula, ang ganda ng istorya, ang ganda ng testimony. And then yung nangyari is that he began losing sight of God and then putting his hopes instead of God on the things of the world. So let me present to you three hindrances to pursuing holiness. And why is holiness important? Because as we mentioned last week, holiness is the primary character of God. Primary. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 6, it says that when the seraphims were speaking in the presence of God, they were saying, holy, holy, holy. It could have either been another attribute like mercy, 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 or love, 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 or kindness, kindness, kindness. But nowhere in Scripture is an attribute of God repeated thrice by angels in His presence. Holy, holy, holy. That's so important, and that's how valuable it is, yung character ng Panginoon, about His holiness. So that the number one hindrance I want to present to you today is called sin. Gulat kayo, no? Sin, obviously, because that's the number one, no? That's kalaban talaga yan. And the Greek for sin is hamartia. Hamartia. Hamartia translates to a description called to miss the mark. It's actually applicable to archery. Okay? Ngayon, nauuso na ngayon yung PE na archery kasi sumosocial na ngayon yung mga PE. Okay, dati naman yung mga PE, ano lang, yung mga sepak takraw, ganyan. Ngayon may mga PE na na-jujitsu, tapos may archery. So ang sarap mag-PE ngayon, ano? So to miss the mark, ibig sabihin, you tried archery. If you've ever tried something like, halimbawa, darts. Let's take for example, sino na nakapag-darts dito? Okay. Lagi ka bang bullseye? Yung 20 nga lang, hirap tamaan eh. Yung etneb. Sabi ni Yorme, ganyan. Parang hirap tamaan ng 20. Lalo na pag tatapusin mo na, isasara mo na yung darts, no? If you ever played darts. Now, archery is much more difficult. Okay? And to miss the mark is what you call hamartia. Now, some people would argue that that's only limited to archery. But we're talking about hamartia is a life of destiny. Meaning to say that every person is a person of destiny. And in so saying that you have a life that is well planned by God. May plano ang Panginoon para sa buhay mo. Let me just give you a very loose example. What if, ang plano talaga ng Panginoon para sa iyo ay mag-fine arts? Okay? Pero sabi ng mga kaibigan mo, hindi, wag, mag-doktor ka. So, nag-medicine ka. Okay? Tapos nagluksa ka, nahirapan ka, 8 taon, ganyan. Tapos sabi mo, kung fine arts lang, nagtatrabaho na sana ako yung pang 5 taon. Okay? So, mamumuhay ka bilang doktor, tatanda ka bilang doktor, magre-retiro ka bilang doktor, tapos malalaman mo na, pag nakaharap ka na sa Diyos, sasabihin ng anak, ng Diyos sa'yo, anak, by the way, mali nga pala yung course mo. Hindi ka na pwedeng bumalik. Tama, no? kailangan mo nang tanggapin yun, no? Tanggapan na lang yun. Lord, sorry, hindi ako nakinig sa'yo. Okay? So that's hamartia. And we do that a lot in life. When we make wrong decisions, that's hamartia. That's when we're missing the mark. Let me give you a few more examples. To miss or wander from the path of uprightness. Ibig sabihin, may tamang standard ng pumumuhay. And that's holiness. That's the standard of God. If we're away from holiness, kung namuhay ka sa pamumuhay ng kasalanan, then that's hamartia. Another description is to wander from the law of God or to violate God's law. And we understand that the scripture, the Bible, is actually a standard for moral living. This is the standard by which we live. Kaya nga maraming tao galit sa Biblia. Kasi ang hirap ipamuhay. At instead na subukan natin ipamuhay ito sa pamamagitan ng grasya ni Hesus Kristo, ang ginagawa nila is huwag na lang natin ipamuhay ito. Sarili na lang nating standard yung itaas natin, tapos ito yung ipamuhay natin. Eh, may problema dun. That's still missing the mark. Right? Okay, let me go to number two very quickly. So we have sin number one, and number two is idolatry. Say it with me, idolatry. No, hindi po ito yung mga Koreano na guwapong-guwapon, halos magmukha na silang babae. So hindi ko maintindihan bakit ganun yung pag-makeup ng mga K-pop ngayon. So pag tinignan mo, parang hindi na siya, babae pa ba? Lalaki pa ba to? Okay. Let me share to you a story in the Jewish story. There's a Jewish collection of literature called Rabbah. Now, this is a literature correction, meaning to say that it's not true, it's fictional, and they make this up para i-entertain yung mga tao, especially the kids. Okay, so meron kang book in the Jewish nation of Israel, it's called the book, the name of the book is Rabbah. In one story, there's a person named Abraham who's an idol worker. Okay, nagtatrabaho siya sa shop na nagtitinda at gumagawa ng mga idols. At ang kanyang boss ay nagngangalang Terah. Okay. Now, it sounds familiar, I'm sure. Now, it sounds familiar, but that's not the... This is, of course, a fictional story. So, one day, umalis si Terah, nagpunta sa travel, tapos iniwan niya kay Abraham yung store. May dumating na customer, 50 years old. Tapos sinabi ni Abraham sa kanya, anong kailangan mo? Sabi ng 50 years old na customer, sabi niya, gusto kong bumili ng idol. Tapos sabi ni Abraham sa kanya, ilang taon ka na? Sabi niya, 50 years old. 50 years old ka na? Gusto mong sumamba sa idol na isang araw pa lang? Ibig sabihin, kagagawa pa lang. So naisip nung, parang umalis siyang malungkot. Okay, umalis siyang frustrated sa sarili niya. And then another story is that nakita ni Abraham na marami ng mga idols, so ang ginawa niya is kumuha siya ng pamalo tapos pinagwawasak niya yung mga ibang idols. So sinira-sira niya, pinawasak niya ganun. Tapos yung huling-huling natirang idol na pinakamalaki, yung sa kamay ng idol na yon, doon niya nilagay yung stick, yung pamalo. So wasak lahat, imagine mo, wasak lahat ng idols, tapos naiwan isang malaking idol na may hawak na pamalo. Di umuwi si Terah ngayon. Sabi niya, hala, anong nangyari? Sabi ni Abraham, nag-invento siya ng story, may babaeng nagpunta. Tapos sabi niya, gusto niyang mag-offering sa mga idols. Narinig ng mga idols. Nag-agawan sila ngayon sa offering, kung sino daw yung kakain ng offering. Nag-away-away sila, yung pinakamalaki, kumuha ng pamalo. Patay silang lahat. Sabi ni Terah sa kanya, pambihira ka naman. Itong mga idol na to ay mga estatwa lang at wala silang tamang pag-iisip. Tapos sabi ni Abraham, kung totoo yun, bakit ka sumasamba sa kanila? Now, you might be thinking, teka muna, ako hindi sumasamba sa estatwa. Tama, di ba? Not unless meron pa rin sa bahay nyo yung parang triangle na maliit. Maliit na ulo, tapos kulot yung buhok. Tapos may corona. Okay, pag sumasakay ka ng jeep, meron kang may mga beads na mahaba. Yung hindi mo natatapos. Okay. Okay, let me give you the meaning for idolatry in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Number one, it's the worship of a physical object as a god. Now, sometimes we think that we're exempted because I'm not bowing to any physical object, I'm not bowing to any statue, tinanggal ko na lahat simula naging Kristiyano ako. Second definition, it's the immoderate attachment or devotion to something. Immoderate attachment, sobra-sobra. Okay? Devotion to something. Now, let me read from my notes. So I wrote here, while we do not deal with Old Testament Baals, Asherahs, Chemosh, or etc., other names of gods, we deal with modern-day idols. These are not obvious, blatant statues or images competing like the Old Testament idols. Surprisingly, these are modern-day legitimate blessings that compete for our devotion and commitment. Modern-day blessings. So let me present to you two spiritual idols in our life. Number one is the spiritual idol of blessing. pagpapala. Hashtag blessing. Yan, maradadalas yung naririnig yan, di ba? Nababasa mo sa Facebook, hashtag bless. Okay? In a relationship, hashtag bless. Ganyan. New work, hashtag bless. Okay, sabi ni Pastor Peter Tanchi, he preached about this in 2014. Listen to what he said. Idolatry can be something good. Like Isaac, it can be God's blessing. However, idolatry is anything or anyone that takes the place of God in your life. It is anything or anyone that competes with your affection toward God and compromises your walk with Him. So bagay daw to na umaagaw ng devotion, ng commitment mo sa Panginoon, kahit sino or kahit anong bagay. Meron akong isang disciple na nangarap magkaroon ng girlfriend. At pinanalangin namin, nag-agree kami sa kanya, Lord, bigyan niyo po siya ng girlfriend. At nagkaroon siya ng girlfriend. At dati, talaga namang masipag siya magsimba, nag-iimbita ng mga kaibigan, nag-iimbita ng mga kasama sa opisina, hanggang sa binigyan siya ng Panginoon, binayayaan siya, hashtag blessed, ng girlfriend. Ngayon, di na siya nagsisimba. Ngayon, tuwing Linggo, makikita ko sa Facebook post niya, nakasama niya yung girlfriend niya, at sila ay namamasyal. Masaya siya. Pero malayo siya sa presensya ng Panginoon. Hashtag blessed? Parang hindi. No? Yung sinasabi ni Pastor Peter Tanchi is that it could be someone, anything or anyone that takes the place of God in your life. And he explains this. Why is God so concerned with idolatry in our lives? Because it is the root cause of almost all sin. Lahat daw halos ng kasalanan ay nakaugat sa idolatry. Amen po ba? Okay. Kaya sa pag-uwi nyo ngayon, baka hindi na kayo, mag-unsubscribe na kayo sa mga K-pop channel. Okay. The first commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 tells us to have no other gods before God. Why? Because all sin will result after you have other gods in your life. So pag meron daw kompetisyon ang Panginoong Diyos sa buhay mo, mas lalong pumapasok ang kasalanan. Pag meron kompetisyon, at kailangan mong bantayan kasi yung mga kompetisyon na to ay mga lehitimong bagay na biyaya sa iyo ng Panginoon. Minsan iniisip natin, di, biyaya to eh. Binigay to ng Panginoon eh. Paano naging kalaban ng trabaho? Bigyan ko kayo ng example, no? Sa Linggo, ilang oras ka lang nasa simbahan? Dalawa, no? Pag napasarap yung pastor, dalawa't kalahati. Eh, dalawa. May ilang, alam nyo ba na mga ilang tao na sobrang nanghihinayang sa kikitain na hindi sila, pipiliin nilang hindi magsimba at pipiliin nilang magtrabaho para sa additional na pera. Tapos ang sinasabi nila, maiintindihan naman ako ng Diyos. Kasi sa totoo lang, maghihikahos ako, magugutom ako, ang pamilya ko, wala na kaming makain. So itong plus 2 hours na to ng trabaho, ay itatawid kami sa gutom nito. Totoo ba? Na gano'n na lang ang buhay? Na ipagpapalit natin ng Panginoong Diyos? O tuwing kailan nangyayari, no? Ito, totoo to. Bibigyan ko kayo ng isang totoong example. Ready na kayo mga estudyante? Okay? Okay, matakot. Bakit ang commitment natin nagbabago pag may thesis na tayo? Boom! Wasak. Hindi ba't ang thesis ay pagpapala? Ito ba ay galing sa demonyo? Kahit sabihin mo malademonyo yung guru mo, ang thesis ay hindi galing sa demonyo. Amen? Bahagi ito ng challenges mo bilang mag-aaral. Tama? This is actually, when you look at it, no, pag natapos mo yung thesis para sa mga nakagraduate na, ang dami mong natutunan in such a short time. Okay? This is actually a blessing. But why do we treat it as a curse in the way we handle it and think about it? Pag dumating na, pag pumalo na yung thesis, ready ka na eh. Naka-set na yung message mo kay kuya, kay ate. Ate, gusto ko pong maintindihan nyo na thesis ko na po. Hindi na po ako attend ng church, hindi na po ako attend ng life group. Hindi na rin po ako magbabasa ng Biblia, kuya ate. At mababawasan na rin po ang aking panahon ng pananalangin. Pero gusto ko maintindihan nyo na mahal ko pa rin ng Diyos. Hala siya. Paano naging pagmamahal sa Diyos yun kung yung manifestation physically ay hindi naman, di ba parang hindi siya angkop? O na magalit na kayo. Eh, ako wala akong problema kasi tapos na ako eh. Yung mga nag-aaral, pag-isipan niyo maigi. Magbabago ba ang commitment at devotion mo sa Panginoon pag ikaw ay magtitesis na? Pag ikaw ay magma-masters, magpi-PhD, magme-medicine, maglulo, magbabago ba ang commitment mo sa Panginoon? Kasi marami yung kakilalang mga tao, ganun. Okay? Nagnalangin sila, sabi nila, Lord, bigyan mo naman ako ng idea, anong magandang postgraduate degree. Tapos dalaga naman, nangusap ang Panginoon sa kanila, sinabihan sila, anak, ito gawin mo, maganda to sa ano mo, sa buhay mo. Kinuha nila, sabi nila, Lord, grabe, ang sobrang hirap nito, Panginoon. Imbis na humingi sila ng tulong sa Panginoon kung paano i-manage yung time nila, sila mismo, binraso nila yung oras nila. At nag-isip sila, ano ang pinakamadaling tanggalin sa schedule ko? Church, tanggal. Life group, tanggal. Tahimik na. Colossians 3, verse 5 in the NLT, it says that, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Listen to this. Don't be greedy. Huwag ka daw maging, ano bang Tagalog ng greedy? Gahaman. Yun! Gahaman! Alam mo yung mukha ng greedy? Ito yung mukha nun. Mga lalaki, makinig kayo. Ito yung nag-clash. Late game. Pumasok ka. Apat yung napatay mo. Nag-Lincoln ka palabas. Dagger ka palabas. Nakita mo may isang nabuhay pa. Malapit na sa fountain. Hinabol mo. Pinatay ka ng fountain. Anong tawag doon? Greedy, gahaman. Okay. Panalo na sana yung GG na sana eh. Kaya lang, may greedy. Okay. Pasensya na sa mga hindi naglalaro. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And this is scripture. Sabi ng scripture, sabi ng Biblia, ang ugat daw ng idolatry ay ang pagkagahaman ng tao. Yung hindi siya kontento sa buhay. Parang nakita niya na bagong sasakyan ng kapitbahay. Sabi niya, bagong sasakyan. Anak, tingnan mo. Ano ba yung trabaho niyan? IT? Anak, mag-shift ka. Ganun yun eh. Diba? Bakit natin binibigyan ng mga paiba-ibang kurso yung mga anak natin na hindi naman nababagay sa kanila? Alam mo, naalala ko yung panahon na usong-uso yung nursing. 80s yun. Pagpatak ng 90s, nauso yung seaman. Okay? Pagpatak ng 20th, na, ano bang after 90s? Ano ba? 21st century agad? Ang bilis. 21st century, nauso yung caregiver. Okay, tapos biglang nagkaroon, nagsulputan yung mga kurso na caregiving, na certificate. Tapos ngayon, IT naman. No? Tapos yung mga tao, kahit walang kaalam-alam sa IT, hala anak, sige IT, magpakayaman tayo. Greedy. Okay, ano pa? Yung second type ng spiritual idolatry, it is a standard lower than God. A standard lower than God. Now, ito medyo malalim. Susubukan natin para pasadahan. Okay? Pero huwag kayong mawawala. Sabi ni A.W. Tozer, the essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of Him. Unworthy. Ibig sabihin, ay hindi ito totoong standard ng Panginoon, pero ang ginawa natin is nag-set tayo ng false standard, mababang standard. Bakit? Kasi ito yung kaya nating abutin. Naniniwala tayo na banal ang Diyos. Tama. Pero ang ginagawa natin is yung pamumuhay natin, hindi natin tinatapat sa standard ng Panginoon. Magpapresenta tayo ng buhay na mababa yung standard, tapos ang sasabihin natin, Panginoon Diyos, hanggang dito lang talaga, tao lang. Tao lang ako. You do note. Okay. Yun yung problema eh. Yung sinasabi ni Tozer, that we set a standard that is unrealistic. That is not a standard of God. Let me read to you from another writer. Sabi ni Michael Ovey. Michael Ovey is a Christian author and lawyer. Sabi niya, nevertheless, what idolatry offers is highly attractive. Napakaganda. Okay? By reversing the relationship of humans in the image God confers, humans have a God of their own choosing, a designer deity. Ang galing nitong taong tumagsulat. Humans have a god of their choosing, a designer deity. Such idolatrous lies falsify a person, obscuring and distorting who the person is. The lie destroys true relationship as humans stop relating to God as he knows himself to be, instead treating him as they have fashioned him. Isn't that any different from idolatry that is being made? So we're not physically making statues or idols, but we're making an idol out of who God is not, by the kind of life that we are living. Hamartia, missing the mark. Nagets nyo? Oh, so I'm so sorry. Only a few people. I don't have a lot of time to explain it, no? Pray for the Holy Spirit's wisdom. So ano yung remedy? The remedy is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Ito daw yung remedy. Kailangan ang pagtingin mo sa buhay ay hindi lang sa mga bagay na temporal. Kailangan yung mga bagay na lampas sa buhay. Yung mga bagay na susunod pagkatapos ng mortal mong pamumuhay. Ang problema, iniisip lang natin yung para dito lang, para sa mundo. Ito lang yung gagawin ko. Ito lang. Hanggang dito lang. E paano sa langit? Bakit tayo nahihirapan magbigay, mag-give sa Panginoon Diyos? Kasi iniisip natin, para dito lang, kulang ako dito, kukuntian ko yung ibibigay ko dito, pero hindi natin iniisip, pag nagbigay ka dito, ina-advance mo actually para sa iyo sa langit. Now, I'm sure that's a loose theology, but that's still true. And the reality is, there's none of the material gains that you have today is something that you can actually bring to the afterlife. Kahit magpagawa ka pa ng kabaong na ginto, maiiwan pa rin sa lupa yan. Amen? Kahit sabi mo pa lahat ng medalya mo ng nursery at kinder, most neat, most friendly, earliest in class, most punctual. No? Hindi mo siya madadala sa langit eh. Number 3, ready na kayo? And then this is the last, no? It's called unsubmitted will. Unsubmitted will. Okay, so we began with sin number 1, and number 2 is idolatry, and number 3 is unsubmitted will. Okay, in one of the areas of our life that God leaves to our own volition. Volition means it's the faculty or power using one's own will. It is not force, not compelled, is our free will. And gusto ko ipaliwanag to for a while, no? All the things that God has given in our life, there is one thing that He doesn't touch. It's your free will. You always have it with you. Okay? Hindi yan pinipwersa ng Panginoon. Hindi kanya babrasuhin sa area na yan. And the reason being is this. Kung pinilit ka ng Panginoon na umibig sa Kanya, tatawagin mo ba yun pag-ibig? Bago nyo sagutin, papresentan ko kayo ng isang illustration. Halimbawa, sweldo. May gwapong lalaki na lumapit sa'yo. Inakbayang ka, kaka-withdraw mo lang sa ATM. Tinutukan ka ng matulis sa bewang mo. Sabi niya sa'yo, akin ang pera mo at ibigin mo ko. Tunay bang pag-ibig yun? Anong tawag sa ganun? Holdapper. Eh? Ang Panginoong Diyos ay hindi holdapper. Hindi kanya pipilitin na ibigin siya ng hindi mo gusto. Kaya ka umiibig sa Panginoon is because nag-decide ka. You know how you were be able to decide? It's because of your free will. Malaya kang nakapag-desisyon. Meron po ba dito na isinako ka, itinali yung ulo mo, nilagyan ka ng piring, pagtanggal lahat, nandito ka na, nakaupo ka na sa galeri, sa galeriya. Nasa sinema to ka na. Kasi ano, nasa na ako? Nasa church. Wala, di ba? Bakit ka narito? Nagpunta ka out of your own volition, out of your own free will. It was your own decision. Let's continue reading. The main reason is that no love is ever freely given apart from a decision to reciprocate God's love out of personal volition. So that's what free will is. And let me jump by explaining to you 4 states of man in relation to sin. So apat na, ano bang state? Estado. Ng tao in relation to sin, which was presented by Augustine of Hippo. Now, just bear with me because Augustine of Hippo is a really, really old writer. He was a priest, no, during the early stages of Christianity. And let me present to you a table which breaks down the stages of sin. Okay, I don't know if it's already there. Okay, we have the pre-fall, post-fall. There we are. reborn and glorified. Okay. Now, papadaliin kong buhay nyo. Wala kayong kailangan memoryahin dahil wala tayong quiz pagkatapos. Basahin nyo lang. We have pre-fall, post-fall, reborn, glorified. Okay, in the pre-fall area, we have pose pecare, pose non pecare, which is, I don't know if this is Greek or Latin. Okay, and it translates to able to sin, able not to sin. And that's the season wherein Adam and Eve existed. Able to sin and able not to sin. And for a while, they chose not to sin up until they made the big mistake in Genesis chapter 3. You have the post-fall, which means non-pose, non-pecare, which means not able not to sin. So ito na yung pagkatapos ng fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. Or kung tayo yon, simula nung pinanganak tayo at naranasan natin yung unang pagkakasala. Okay? That's post-fall. Reborn is pose, non-pecare, able not to sin. And Saint Augustine is saying that the reborn stage is when you have met Christ. And Christ is continuously transforming your life. Okay, nababago ka ngayon pagka ikaw ay tinutukso ng demonyo, hindi ka gaya dati, sinabi ng demonyo na halika, mag-inom tayo. Yes. Ngayon, pag ikaw ay sinabihan ng demonyo, halika, mag-inom tayo, napapaisip ka. Isang lapad lang ba o dalawa? Ganyan. Hindi, no? Nag-iisip ka ngayon kung sasama ba ako o hindi ako sasama. Tapos pinapakinggan mo yung banal na espiritu. Narinig mo siya, sinasabi, anak, wag, kasi yan yung dati mong buhay. At nagdi-decision ka, sinasabi ng Biblia, you say no to ungodliness. Okay? So that's the reborn arena. And then you have the glorified, which is non-pose pecare, which means unable to sin. Meaning to say na kahit ano pa ang gawin sa'yo, wala nang temptation. Hindi ka nagkakasala. Now, gusto ko ipaliwanag sa inyo na ang glorified ay nangyayari pag ikaw ay namatay na. Okay, quick question. Nasaan ka dito sa apat na to? Pera o bayong? Asan ka dyan ngayon? Huwag nyo sasabihin na kayo ay nasa glorified. Okay? Huwag kayong magmadali. Okay? Mamimiss kayo ng mga pamilya nyo. Okay? Talagang enjoyin nyo muna yung buhay, kasama yung pamilya nyo, gawin nyo yung mga pinapangarap nyo sa buhay na sinabi ng Panginoong Diyos. So tatlo na lang yung pagpipilian natin. Alam na natin na si Adam and Eve ay sa pre-fall, so dalawa na lang ang natira. Sa multiple choice na B and C, saan ka? C. Correct answer. Okay? Nasa reborn tayo. So, able not to sin. Ito yung magandang katanungan. Kung totoong nasa reborn ako, pose non pecare, bakit paminsan nagkakasala ako? Naisip nyo na ba yun? Kung totoong gumagawa ang Panginoon sa buhay ko at totoong may grasya ng Diyos at totoong may banal na Espiritu Santo na ipinadala sa akin bilang seal ng aking eternal life, bakit ako minsan nagkakasala? Alam niyo kung bakit? May free will ka. So kada tumarating ka sa intersection ng temptation, may mga times na ang pinipili mo ay sumuway sa Diyos. May tatanggi ba dito na ganun ang mukha ng kasalanan? Meron ba ditong sinabi, kuya, kasi nahulog talaga ako eh. Ang gwapo. Pumuputok yung muscles sa t-shirt. Ganyan. Kaya lang lalaki ako eh. Eh, ganun ba? Hindi. Di ba parang, kung ikaw ay nakakilala kay Jesus, ang nangyayari sa buhay ay every stage ng temptation, nakakaramdam ka ng tinatawag na conviction. Tama? Yung Holy Spirit nangungusap sa iyo, sa puso mo, sinasabi niya, anak, hindi tama. Anak, ito yung tama. Pero ikaw pa rin yung nagdi-desisyon. Pinilit ka ba ng banal na Espiritu Santo? Sinabi niya, hala, pag hindi mo sinunod, aapoy ka ngayon din. Hindi. Di ba? Walang ganun na nangyari. You're still operating on free will. And this is something that is an obstruction towards holiness. Sabi ni Agustin of Hippo, let's break it down, yung pre-fall, post-fall, reborn, and glorified. He had a write-up back in the early days. It's called an inquiridion. Inquiridion is a statement of principles in the early Christianity. And in chapter 118, mantakin mo kung gaano kahaba ito, no? Chapter 118. Parang dissertation yata ito. Okay, he talks about the breakdown of the four stages. Able to sin and not to sin. Let me read what Augustine of Hippo wrote. Able to sin, able not to sin. When sunk in the darkest depths of ignorance, man lives according to the flesh, undisturbed by any struggle of reason or conscience. This is his first state. not able not to sin. Afterwards, when through the law has come the knowledge of sin, and the Spirit of God has not yet interposed his aid, man striving to live according to the law is thwarted in his efforts and falls into conscious sin. And so being overcome of sin becomes its slave. For of whom a man is overcome of the same is he brought in bondage. And thus the effect produced by the knowledge of the commandment is this, that sin worketh in man all manner of concupiscence. That's lust. And he is involved in the additional guilt of willful transgression that is fulfilled, which is written, the law entered that the offense might abound. And that's in Romans 5:20. This is man's second state. Pasensya na kayo kasi walang transcription ng modern day. So malalim talaga yung write-up. Okay. And then we have the third stage, able not to sin. But if God has regarded to him and inspires him with faith in God's help, and the Spirit of God begins to work in him, then the mightier power of love, love for God, strives against the power of the flesh. And although there is still in the man's own nature a power that fights against him, ito yung nararamdaman natin eh. Sa tuwing tinutukso tayo ng demonyo, na meron paglalaban sa loob natin. Tama ba? Hindi mo nakikita yung demonyo, matakot ka na lang, no? Pag si Baratrum, hindi. Pag si, sino yung mas pangit? Doombringer, no? Biglang nagpunta sa harapan mo, parang hindi ka magkakamali. May pangalan ka kaagad para sa kanya eh. Okay? Pero nararamdaman natin yung tukso, nararamdaman natin yung presensya ng demonyo pag tayo ay tinetep. And then nakikita mo at nararamdaman mo yung turmoil sa loob ng puso mo na nagtatalo. Nagtatalo yung sarili mo, susundin ko ba yung dating buhay ko o susundin ko yung buhay ngayon na gusto ng Diyos para sa akin? So meron kang choice every time. And although there is still in the man's own nature a power that fights against him, for his disease is not completely cured, yet he lives the life of the just by faith and lives in righteousness so far as he does not yield to evil lust, but conquers it by the love of holiness. And this is the third state of a man of good hope. So yung pagmamahal daw sa kabanalan ng Diyos, ang nakakapagpatagumpay doon sa tao laban sa kasalanan. Hindi ko nababasahin yung unable to sin. Let me present to you yung Bible Dictionary definition ng self-will. Okay, bigyan natin ng working definition yung self-will. It stands for, now, huwag nyo muna ilabas. Minsan iniisip natin, yung self-will ay sa atin. Tama, di ba? Yun naman yung katotohanan. Akin to eh. Karapatan ko to. Tama? Okay, binigay ito ng Diyos sa akin para ako ay mag-desisyon. Okay, walang ibang tao na makakakuha sa akin ito. Ito ay bagay na ako lang ang meron. That's your self-will. Listen to the definition. It stands for false pride. For obstinacy. Obstinacy is defined as the stubborn refusal to change one's opinion or course of action or decision. Sinabihan ka na kung ano yung tama, pero ayaw mo magbago. Sinabihan ka na, huwag mong hititin yan. Tambucho yan. Pero ayaw mo talaga. Sabi mo, kuya, adik na po ako dito. Naabangan ko bawat jeep na dumadaan sa kanto. It stands for false pride, for obstinacy, for pertinacious. Pertinacious means holding firmly to an opinion or course of action. Pertinacious adherence to one's will or wish, especially in opposition to the dictates of wisdom or propriety. Ano ba yung propriety? Conformity to conventionally accepted standards. So meron kang standards, that's propriety. Meron tao nagsabi sa'yo, taga-church, leader mo. Sabi niya, nakikita mo yung humuhukage? Huwag mo siyang bigyan ng atensyon. That's wisdom. Tama, di ba? Eh, kaya lang KSP ka. Okay? Hindi ka napapansin sa bahay, hindi ka na masyado nabibigyan ng atensyon, tapos mababa yung self-esteem mo. So, ano yung nangyari? Yung hukage, binibigyan natin atensyon. Kasi nakakakuha tayo ng value natin mula sa kanya eh. Pero andun na yung wisdom. Ang ganda ng wisdom. Sabi niya, pangit yan. Pangit ang lahi. O kaya naman parang ganito, no? Let me just present it to you very clearly as possible. Someone comes up to you but is a non-Christian. And ikaw solid ka. Solid ka ng Christian. Tapos ito yung taong, tipong tao na talaga naman nung naglista ka ng mga pangarap mo sa buhay, pasok lahat. Pasok. Except yung pinakaunang-una. Fears God. Walang takot sa Diyos. Guwapo, macho, may abs. 10 yung abs. Hanggang noo meron. Matalino. Yung tatlong M. Macho, matalino, guwapo. Eh? Tapos, ito yung problema. Wala siyang takot sa Diyos. Na-imagine mo ba kung anong klase pag natuloy yung relationship nyo, kung anong klaseng relationship yon? O pagpalagay natin, ikinasal kayo. Okay? Para sa mga lalaki, isipin nyo na lang, no? Female version. Tanggalin mo yung abs. Okay? Nakakatakot eh. Pagka ano. Okay, female version. Tapos kinasal kayo. Okay? Tapos may mga anak na kayo. Pupunta ka ngayon ng church. Sasabihin mo, tara na mga anak, punta na tayo. Sabihin ng asawa mo, saan ka pupunta? Magsisimba ka na naman. Ano ba namang klaseng simbahan yan? Tapos galing kang AG. AG, accountability group. Tapos umuwi ka, medyo na late kasi ang daming kwentuhan. Tapos nagpa-counsel ka pa, nagpa-pray over ka. Which is normally nangyari sa AG, di ba? Pag uwi mo ng bahay, sasabihin sa'yo ng asawa mo na kaganun. Saan ka galing? Nag-beer house ka, no? Hindi, nag-AG ako. AG! Tapos mas galit pa sa AG kaysa sa beer house. Nakakatawa siya, pero ito yung mga bagay na nangyayari sa mga mag-asawa na ang magkaiba ng pananampalataya. You look what the scripture is saying, yung wisdom ng scripture, it says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. Ang klaro! Ang klaro! Pero maraming nahuhulog doon. Daming nahuhulog. Tawag doon, marupok. Ang klaro ng wisdom eh. Ito yung taong binigyan ng wisdom, binigyan ng moral standard, tinuruan, may leaders na nagpe-pray, patuloy, umate ng simbahan, nag-life group, tapos sinabihan siya, ito yung gagawin, ito yung magandang gawin, humingi ng counsel, pero hindi niya sinusunod. Sayang yung counsel. Tapos magtataka siya, kuya, bakit ganun? Nadurog yung puso ko pagkatapos. Aba, syempre, hindi mo sinunod yung counsel eh. Huwag kayong magalit sa akin, ha? Word of God to. Okay, let me read to you what the Word of God says. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in the NLT translation, it says here, listen, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Hayaan mo daw na ang Panginoon ay baguhin ka, pero meron kang kailangan gawin. Kailangan mong baguhin kung paano ka mag-isip. At hindi mo dapat kopyahin yung ginagawa ng mundo. Ito yung sa mundo. Bigyan ko kayo ng isang sample. Namimili ng dalawang trabaho. Yung isa, mas malaki yung sweldo. Yung isa, mas maliit. Sa mundo, ang daling pumili. Siyempre yung malaki. Di ba? Ganun din sa partner, no? Mayaman, may sasakyan, guwapo. Ang daling pumili. Pero hindi nagko-consult kay Lord. Naalala niyo si Asa? Nung simula, parang ang hirap nung kalaban niya eh. Yung nation ng Sudan, nation ng Libya, 1 million na kalaban niya. Pero anong ginawa niya sa Panginoon? Kinonsulta niya. Minsan kasi iniisip natin, because of self-will, entitled tayo mag-desisyon ng tayo lang. At hindi na natin kinukonsulta ang Panginoon. Hindi na tayo nagtatanong, Lord, ano ba ang gusto mo para sa buhay ko? So ang gagawin natin, mag-desisyon tayo na tayo lang. Tapos nakapag-desisyon ka na. Pagpalagay natin na mali. Susubukan mong ayusin. Paano mo siya ayusin? Lalapit ka ngayon sa Panginoon. Sabi mo, Lord, tulong. Medyo late na, no? Hindi kaya? Baka lang. Baka medyo late na, no? Nalalangin tayo na, Lord, pwede bang ayusin mo to? Sabi na, Lord, bakit ko ayusin? Kasi po, Lord, mali yung ginawa ko. Yun. Church po ito. And yun yung patama ng salita ng Diyos. Basahin natin, tuloy natin yung Romans 12:2. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Ito daw yung maganda para sa Panginoon. Yung sinasabi niya is that, pag ikaw ay nanalig sa Kanya, hinayaan mo na baguhin ng Panginoon ang klase ng pag-iisip mo, ang mangyayari is malalaman mo kung saan ka gusto ng Panginoon, anong klaseng buhay, anong landas. Lahat! kahit sino yung klase ng tao, kahit anong klaseng trabaho, kahit anong klaseng tropa, anong klaseng barkada yung samahan mo, sinasabi ng Panginoon yan. And you will know what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. You know, I was reading another verse, das nagulat ako because it comes in parallel with this verse. Open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. In the NLT translation, it says here, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts. And then they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Let me read to you yung ESP translation. Correcting his opponents with gentleness, God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Nakita niyo yung contrast? Ang taong nasa Diyos, ginagawa niya yung will niya. Ang taong wala sa Diyos ay ginagawa ang will nino ng demonyo. Minsan iniisip natin na ang self-will natin ay tayo lang. Pero ang katotohanan, sabi ng Biblia, na pag hinayaan ng tao sa sarili niya and he makes a decision based on his flesh, that decision will always be under the will of Satan. Laging ganun yung desisyon. Apart from God, we are nothing. Apart from God, we're really going to struggle. Magsa-struggle ka talaga on trying to make the correct decisions. Let me read to you what John Piper said, okay, about making the, about self-will. Sabi ni Piper, glad submission to God's authority and to God's superior value and beauty is something we are not able to do. This is not because we are kept from doing what we prefer to do. It's because we prefer our own authority. Mahirap eh. Lalo na pag bago ka sa Christianity, ang hirap sumunod sa Diyos. Kasi pag iniisip mo, pag sumunod ako sa Diyos, malamang-lamang niya, pagtatawanan ako ng tropa ko. Pag inimbita ka sa inuman, tapos sinabi, alika, pre, inom tayo, nomi. Sabi, hindi na ako minom eh. Oh, KJ mo naman. Sama ka na, kahit tirahin mo lang yung pulutan. Pero ito yun eh, hindi na siya, dati na siyang buhay, tapos kailangan mo siyang malampasan. Okay? Sabi ni Piper, this is not because we are kept from doing what we prefer not what prefer to do, it is because we prefer our own authority and treasure our own value above God's. We cannot prefer God as supremely valuable while preferring ourselves also supremely. Hindi pwedeng sabay, yun na pantay. Hindi pwedeng ang pamantayan mo sa buhay, sinasabi mo na naniniwala ako sa Diyos, nananalig ako sa kabanalan niya, pero ito yung buhay mo na sinasabi mo, katapat ko lang ang Diyos. Susunod ako sa sarili ko rin. Walang magbabago. That's irrational. And also at the same time, ironic. How can a person be saying he's a Christian and there would be no physical manifestations of Christianity? Kailangan may nakikita. May ebidensya. Kung walang pagbabago, magtatanong yung tao eh. Sabi niya, ba't parang hindi nagbabago? Bakit sinasabi niya, Kristiyano siya, pero wala akong nakikita ang pagbabago. Piper said, the reason for this idolatrous preference is that we are morally blind to the glory of Christ so that we cannot treasure His glory as superior to our own. Satan is committed to conforming us in His blinding preference. Listen to what the scripture says. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. So when the natural person looks at the glory of God, whether in nature or in the gospel, he does not see supreme beauty and worth. Ang nakikita niya instead is a standard lower than the actual. He does not see the exact standard of God. And that's the kind of idolatry that we put in our lives based on our self-will. Now, let me present to you three areas where this practically applies. Areas of submission of our self-will. Ready na po ba kayo? Okay, huwag po kayong magagalit sa akin pagkatapos, ha? Number one, governing authorities. Okay, governing authorities. Ano yung tinutukoy natin dito? Sabi ng Romans 13 verse 1, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Sabi ng Panginoon Diyos na ang mga tao na liderato, namumuno sa society, sa government, sa institutions, ay itinilaga niya. Kahit yung nagbuduts? Oo. Nakatulog ba yung Panginoon nung inuunti na yung number 12? Tapos nagising na lang, hala, number 12 na. Hindi. Alam ng Panginoon yung ginagawa niya. Ngayon, nasa ilalim tayo ng pamumuno ng ating mga senators. Nasa ilalim tayo ng pamumuno ng ating presidente. Ang dami ko nakikita ng mga tao sa social media, kung makatalima doon sa presidente, grabe na, wagas. Post ng post. Pero, tanungin ko lang ah, nababasa ba ni Duterte yung Facebook mo? Nabago ba siya? O mas mainam na nakita mo may mali sa presidente, imbis na magpo-post tayo, ipanalangin mo siya. Anong mas epektibo sa dalawa? Diba? Gawain ng tao eh. Gawain ng tao yun eh. Hindi tayo yun. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. What does a Christian do? Halimbawa, meron isang tao, ayaw mo talaga yung ugali. Hindi mo siya mabago. What do you do with that person? You pray. You spend time in prayer. Alam mo kung bakit maraming mga tao ayaw manalangin? Kasi mas nakakapagod manalangin. Mas madali na, kausapin mo lang yung tao, buhos mo yung galit mo. Mas madali yun eh. Yun yung ginagawa ng ibang ng mundo eh. Yun yung ginagawa ng ibang tao. Ito, mahirap manalangin. Bakit? Kasi parang feeling mo walang nangyayari. Parang feeling mo, ang tagal ng epekto. So ano yung tinutukoy natin in terms of authority? We're talking about government leaders, institutional authority, mga magulang, mga anak, makinig kayo. Authority ng Panginoon over your life, mga magulang nyo. Amen po ba, mga parents? Isa lang po yung magulang sa likod. Praise God po. Okay. Because you know what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says the children obey your parents, honor your father and your mother. Okay? Minsan ginagamit natin na excuse eh, yung nagmamadali ka na linggo, tapos sinabi sa iyo, anak, maglinis ka muna ng bahay, okay, magugas ka muna ng plato. Hindi, tay, nay, late na po ako sa church. Kailangan magpakabanal. Pero walang kabanalan sa bahay. So you see the irony? Mas mahirap mamuhay na kilala ka ng mga tao sa simbahan, napakaayos mo na tao, pero pagdating sa tahanan, binisita ka namin, no? Tapos nakita nang kwento ng magulang mo sa amin na parang, yan, yung anak ko, parang hindi siya Christian. Ilang taon na nga siya nagde-destiny? Nakakatakot marinig yun. Kasi ang hinahanap nila, pagbabago eh. You know what a powerful testimony is? What the kind of testimony that really makes people change and really rethink Christianity? When there's dramatic change in your life. Subukan nyo maging masipag sa bahay. Subukan nyo lang. Try lang. 1 week. Sa unang linggo, malamang sasabihin ng magulang nyo, anak, suminghot ka ba? Anak, tigil mo na yung tinitira mo, ha? But you know, later on, if you continue with it, would you persist with it, and they see that the reason being why you are changing is because of Christ, mas madali mag-share. Mas madali mag-imbita sa simbahan. Ano pa? Mga teachers. Huwag kayo magagalit sa akin, mga estudyante. Eh. Mga teachers natin, our authority. Amen? Kahit ayaw mo pa yung homework na yan. Kahit tinambakan ka, Sabado Likod, hindi nila naiintindihan. No? Bakit sila ganun? Pag nagpa-exam, sabay-sabay. Okay. If you're in a family, and you're a wife, the husband is the authority in the house. No, that's Ephesians chapter 5. So a society not submitted to authority would result to anarchy. Walang organisasyon. Walang order. Hindi pwedeng araw-araw edsa revolution. Mantaki mo kung anong mukha nun. Okay? Walang pasok, wala ka rin sweldo. Second of the areas of submission of self-will, church leaders. Ito na. Okay, makinig kayo maigi. Okay. And the question here I'd like you to ask is, who is the real authority in your spiritual life? Sino ba ang totoong authority sa spiritual mong buhay? Hebrews 13 verse 17. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Can we read this all together? Okay, basahin natin sabay-sabay. Number 1, 2, 3. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you just as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. This talks about spiritual leaders, by the way. Okay, submit thou. That's what the scripture says. Have confidence in them because they keep watch over you. Kasi kanino sila accountable? Kay Lord. Accountable sila sa leader on top of them. If they're under the pastor, they're under another leader, they're accountable to them, they report to them, but eventually, they're accountable to the Lord for your life. And it says that, bakit mo sila pinapahirapan? Nakakadagdag ba yon sa'yo? Wala! Let me present to you a meme na nakakatuwa. Kumusta na nga pala yung cell leaders mo? Honestly, to my understanding, he just started not talking to me. Ito, nakakatawa to eh. Pero you ask the regular life group leader, there comes really a stage in people's lives that they do not reply. And it's something that really bewilders us. Talagang hindi namin siya maipaliwanag kahit paano namin siya pag-aralan. Okay? Hindi ko siya maintindihan eh. Kasi yung leader mo nagko-communicate sa'yo. Ano yung kinukommunicate niya? Schedules ng church, encouragement, Bible verses. What are all those things for? They're meant to encourage you, right? They're meant to keep you in the loop. Pero, sin zone. Minsan nga, hindi pa binubuksan. Minsan, naka-mute. O kaya, naka-block. Alam mo, kahit man lang siguro, thumbs up. Okay na yung sa life group leader mo, thumbs up. Kuya, okay po. Tahimik na sa church, no? Kasi dami natatamaan. Okay, let me give you a few more examples. Deviance to goals. Okay. May goal, yung church. Sabi ng church, everybody fall in line with the DLT. Destiny Leadership Training. Okay. Tapos paulit-ulit, ina-announce every Sunday yung schedules. Tapos yung life group leader mo, lagi niya sinesend sa'yo. Tapos ikaw, sinasabi mo, ayoko. Sayang sa oras. Hindi ako bagay dyan. Pang ano lang yan. Tingnan mo sila, mga ano yun, religious. Hindi ako, kaya ko to, kaya ko mag-isa. Hindi ako mag-DLT. Dami tinatamaan. Let me give you a third example. Okay? And let me tackle the church hopping phenomenon. Listen to this, no? Church hopping. Ito yung maalis yung tao sa simbahan. Lumilipat ng ibang simbahan. Normally, yung nililipatan nila, mas malaki, mas masigabo, mas maliwanag, mas maganda yung sound system, mas mukhang mas magaling yung worship team, mas mukhang mas anointed, mas mukhang Espanyol yung preacher, ganyan. No? Medyo lumalabas pa rin yung ano natin, no? Colonial mentality, even in the church. Okay. What's church hopping phenomenon? Okay. This happens when a person runs into conflict with his leader or with somebody in the church. Okay. And you go to the scripture, it says, how do you resolve conflict? You resolve it within the church. Nowhere in scripture will you find that the way to resolve conflict is to leave. But that's what people do. They leave church, they come to another church. Usually, they choose the bigger church. You know why? Because it's easier to hide. There's no accountability. Walang magtatanong sa'yo eh, ano pinagdadaanan mo? Anong problema mo? Walang magtatanong sa'yo, itong mahalagang tanong, bakit ka umalis? And people do that a lot of times. Okay? Let me just make it clear. No? If you are in Destiny Church and you are here because you tried to escape another Christian church, you need to come out clean. Magsabi ka sa life group leader mo. You have to go back to your old church and then you have to explain to your pastor what happened and you have to ask clearance. You know, I want to give you this very quick personal testimony. I wasn't originally part of Destiny Church. I moved to Destiny Church when I was in my master's. Previously, I grew up in the church of my mother, yung Alliance. It's a really big, big denomination in the Philippines, yung CAMACOP, Christian and Missionary Alliance Churches of the Philippines. That's where I grew up. When I went to attend the campus ministries of Destiny Church, and then I found myself attending two churches at the same time for 2 years. On the last year, I began praying to the Lord for the Lord's direction. Sabi ko, Lord, where do you want me planted? I did not escape. Hindi ako tumakas.
Di ako nag-ghosting. Parang bigla ka na lang nawala sa kabila, tapos yung pastor mo hinahanap pala, ano na kaya nangyari sa anak ko? Ano nangyari sa spiritual na anak ko? Baka nasagasaan na siya ng pison. Ganyan. You know what I did? After a time, after I spent a time of prayer, I went back to my old pastor. And then I spoke to them and asked for their blessing. I told them, pastors, this is where I think God is leading me. I want your blessing so you can release me properly to another church. You know, the good thing about that is because walang hinanakit yung dati simbahan sa akin. Pwede akong bumisita sa kanila anytime. In fact, sometimes they invite me to preach. Yung nanay ko umaten pa rin yung simbahan yun, pareho rin. Yung mga tao, kaibigan ko pa rin hanggang ngayon. Hindi ako nagtatago. Amen. This is what Pastor Paula Luna shared to me before when I was praying about it. Sabi niya, where you are planted, there you will grow. And you know who makes the decision to plant? You do. You make the decision, you commit to the decision, you are actually by your self-will, according to the Lord's will, and by prayer, you're the one who's making the decision, Lord, where do you want me planted? And that's where you will grow. If you keep jumping, a person who keeps jumping from one church to another, trying to evade yung having his sin, having his character being dealt with, will continue to be an immature person. He will just age. Tatanda lang yan, age. Pero yun pa rin yung problema niya. Walang accountability. Ayaw niya mag-submit. Hindi na deal. Akala niya dahil nakaka-attend ako ng church, okay pa rin ako kay Lord, but he's not. That's the reality. You go to the scripture, this is not my word. It says submit to your spiritual authority. These authorities were given to you by the Lord. So yung life group leader mo, pag nagtitext sa'yo, replyan mo naman. Huwag mong isin zone. Huwag mong pahirapan. Ano bang naidagdag sa buhay mo pag hindi mo siya nireplyan, pinahirapan mo siya. Malamang, mas lalo kanyang ipagpipray. Kasi wala na siyang choice eh. Amen? Konti na lang yung may gusto. Lastly, surrender our will to God. James chapter 4 verse 7, it says here, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, submit your will to the Lord and resist the devil. Those are two things that are happening at the same time. You cannot be saying to the Lord, Lord, I am resisting the devil, but you're not submitting to God. Hindi yan parang ganito, nakabukas yung laptop, tapos mayroon porn site. Tapos sinasabi mo, Lord, iligtas mo ako sa porn, pero hindi ko isasara to. You know, for the guys, because I was in bondage to porn for a really, really long time. You know what helps me? In all my computers, I have a proxy blocker. Proxy blocker. I block all the websites because I memorized it over time. Huwag niyo lang ako tanungin kung ano yung pinupuntaan ko. Okay. I memorized it. I block keywords. I block websites. And every time I open in Google Chrome, it closes. Google Chrome closes. I type in Google. It closes. Easy. Pahirapan mo pa yung sarili mo. Pag alam mo, natitempt ka, magbubukas ka pa lang ng laptop, tapos sinara mo na agad yung pinto mo, nilock mo, alam mo na kung saan papunta. Diba? Diba guys? Once nilock mo yung pinto mo, tapos nagbukas ka na ng laptop mo, alam mo na eh. Kasama mo sa kwarto si Satanas. Ang gagawin mo, buksan mo yung pinto, harap mo yung laptop mo kung saan nakikita ng mga tao. Subukan mong mag-porn. Tingnan mo kung matutuwa magulang mo. Mama, tingnan mo to. Galing. So why the resistance? Sabi ni John Piper. The basic reason is that the natural person prefers his own autonomy and his own glory above the sovereignty and glory of God. This is what Paul means when he says, the mind of the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit. Yun daw yung taong pinamumunuhan ng laman, ayaw niya. Ayaw niya yung batas ng Panginoon. Ayaw niya sumunod. Hostile. Minsan niisip natin, hindi ako masyadong hostile. You know, the mere small disobediences is hostility. Romans 8, verse 7 to 8, it says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And you know what the solution to this kind of resistance is? It's called spiritual surrender. Let me present to you what it means in the dictionary. To surrender in spirituality and religion means that the believer completely gives up his own will. Remember, that self-will is for you. You are entitled to it. Tama? But here, you'll find that it's something that you need to give up. It's something that you need to surrender. When he gives up his own will and subjects his thoughts, ideas, and deeds to the will and teaching of God, it may also be contrasted with submission. Listen to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Allow me to read to you the Message translation as we close. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine. It is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. That is what it means for a person to die with Christ. He has no idols, like in the early stages of Asa's life. He really cleansed the nation. Unfortunately, you know, when he was getting older, he made that one mistake which caused his death. And it's also a kind of life, you know, when we're talking about pursuing holiness, is when you choose to submit your will to the Lord. Ang hirap nun. Alam niyo ba kung gaano kahirap yun? Every time you do so, laging may pagtatalo sa isip mo. Yung pagtatalo na tama ba itong gagawin ko? Susundin ko ba si Lord? Kasi parang yung mundo, maganda yung offering. Maganda yung bigayan. Maganda yung sinasabi ng mga tropa ko, dito daw, masaya. Nandito yung mga tao, nandito yung party, nandito lahat, nandito yung atensyon. Pero dito, parang dito nakikita ko, ang hirap, rigid. Totoo ba? Rigid ba talaga? Parang dito, walang kalayaan. Totoo ba? Wala ba talagang kalayaan? Parang dito, parang set of rules and regulations. Totoo ba? Ganun nga ba talaga ang Christianity? Or is it not the other way around? That the real Christianity is freedom. Freedom from sin. That every time you are tempted, malaya ka. Hindi ka yes man. At tinatempt ka, hindi ka sabi yes. There's always a struggle and you always make the decision by the grace of God. And you know, but that kind of life is a life that is producing holiness, that is honoring the Lord. Are we saying that we're able to achieve this all by good works? No. Sobrang hirap kaya. Sobrang hirap ng temptation. Amen po ba? Last pa nga lang, parang hindi ko maintindihan yung last eh. Katatapos mo lang, may bago na naman. Tapos papalakas ng papalakas. But well, as a Christian, you always have to make that choice. I submit my will to the Lord. I submit my will to the Lord. I would not choose what is pleasurable to me. I would not choose what the world is telling me. This makes you happy. This will give you joy. What instead I do is I conform my thoughts to the Word of God and allow God to change me, change the way I think. Romans 12:2. Shall we all stand and pray? How I wish the ministering would actually end with, you know, something like a powerful worship time, tapos
Everybody's crying and on their knees.
Tapos talagang one dramatic moment episode of just change. And then paglabas natin dito, we're thoroughly 100%. Wala na tayong struggles. But the reality of Christianity is, as you all know, it's a continuous loop of struggles. Paulit-ulit. Tama. And the reason why I needed to teach this is so that now you know the truth. And Christ said, the truth shall set you free. You know, my prayer is that every time you are met, you are at the crossroads of temptation, you are at the crossroads between choosing holiness or of the world. My prayer is that every time you would submit your will to the Lord. You would pray to the Lord, Lord, not my will, but yours. Your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, I pray that as we review our notes, as we go back to what we learned today, I pray, Lord God, that you would remind us of what is important in our life through the Scripture. Even, Lord God, the parts of what was preached today na medyo hindi namin naintindihan, I pray, Father, that you would make it very clear to us, as clear as black and white, crystal clear. I pray, Father, that the word would be planted in our hearts, very deep in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that the word would bear fruit. And I pray, Father, that when the word is planted, that every time we would choose to obey, that in so doing, we would receive blessing. Lord Jesus, thank you for the grace that you have given us by dying on the cross for us. Thank you for your blood that is continuously at work in our lives. Holy Spirit, thank you for the continuous conviction upon our life. Ang panalangin namin, Banal na Espiritu, ay huwag po sana kayong manawa. Huwag kayong manawa na paalalahanan kami. Huwag kayong manawa na mangusap sa amin kahit gaano pa katigas ang puso namin. Panginoong Diyos, itinataas namin ang puso namin sa iyo. Ang panalangin namin, Panginoon, na lagi niyo itong palambutin. Na hindi kami magiging bingi sa boses mo, Espiritu Santo. Ang panalangin namin, Holy Spirit, na patuloy kayo naming marinig, na yung conviction mo maalab, malakas, naririnig namin. And I pray, Father, that every time we are convicted, that we would always choose to submit our will to you. That we would always choose to follow holiness and say no to ungodliness. I pray, Lord God, for a victorious Christian life. Every temptation, every struggle, every stage in our life, every transition, in the name of Jesus Christ, for a victorious Christian life, for a testimony that we can speak about, a testimony that is able to defeat the enemy as mentioned in Revelations. And so we thank you, O God, for the continuous working in our lives. Lord, we surrender our life to you. We pray, O God, that we would not resist the change that you are doing in our life. And we bless your name in this place. And we thank you, O God, and honor you and praise you and give you all the glory, Lord God, because you are worthy to be praised. You are holy, O God. And we thank you, O God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.